Our staff is about to start a 30-day clean eating challenge together. In fact, Melinda, who's our pre-K director, she's kind of got a background in exercise and nutrition, and so she held a meeting this past week for our staff. We got together. We kind of talked about what the ground rules were going to be. Essentially, what we're going to do for 30 days is only eat like organic meat, vegetables, and fruit for the next 30 days, just like detox together. Doesn't that sound exciting to everybody? And so we kind of talked through it. She kind of laid everything out, maybe a few nuts here or there. We're going to get together. We're going to prep all of our meals together. We're going to go through this difficult journey together as a team. And so then after she had talked through everything, passed out all the little pieces of paper to explain exactly what we're doing, she said, "Does anybody have any questions?" And somebody on our staff said, "Just to clarify, so do I get to drink a Monster in the morning or not?" And I was like, "What? Like, how could you have missed the point? We're only eating and drinking clean stuff. Who would think that we would get to drink a Monster during a detox?" But sometimes in life, we miss the point completely. Like even last Sunday night, I called my buddy Coach and asked him if he wanted to go out and sleep up at the Gorge for the night. And so we thought we'd get away and disconnect for a little bit and have a night out under the stars. And so we had our first Sunday celebration. And then that evening, we took off and went to the Gorge. And we hiked out to the place that we normally stay at, but there were a lot of college students there, and they were kind of being loud. And kind of the point was to be quiet and just unplug. And so we went a little bit further, and we kind of found this corner of this rock where we put up our hammocks, and we just laid out there together and talked about life, just disconnected from everything. And then I started thinking, I said, "Coach, I wonder what the score of the Notre Dame-Texas game is." And he pulled out his phone. He said, "Well, I got pretty decent reception." And he started looking. He said, "Well, I think we can just watch it." And so he hit watch, and we're laying out on this rock, supposed to be disconnected from everything, snuggled up to each other, watching the overtime of the Notre Dame-Texas game. Like, kind of missed the point completely of what all that was about. But sometimes in life, we missed the point, right? Like this guy, I think he missed the point of what a highlighter is supposed to do. Like only the really important stuff, not every single line that you read. Or this marketing person for this mouthwash kind of missed the point of what 24 hours of protection means. Use twice daily for 24 hours of protection. Or this restaurant kind of missed the point of the veggie burger that you could add bacon to for another dollar, right? But that's the only type of veggie burger that I would ever eat, one that you could add bacon to. But sometimes in life, we just miss the point completely. We forget what it's really all about. And so we're in the third week of this series called Bridges. I'm talking about this idea that in all of our lives, we've got some gaps, some distance between where we are and where we want to be. And we've talked about these gaps that exist between us and God. And we talked about relationships, and we're going to dive into our finances and our health in the future. But today we're going to talk about this idea that there are gaps. There is distance between us as a church and the community, the people that we're called to serve and love. And often that gap, that distance is really far apart. And what we need is we need bridges. And God is really asking each of us to be bridge builders, to be the type of people that will create a clear path so people can experience God's grace and mercy and goodness. And as a church, we're called to be people who build bridges. Now, a few years ago, some friends of mine and I went up to Boston for a few days. It was kind of a guy's getaway. We went and saw a Boston Red Sox game. And then after that, we got to go to a New England Patriots game. And it's just this great few days together. And one of the things we did one morning is we took a tour of the Freedom Trail. And the Freedom Trail is like 2.5 miles. It goes through downtown Boston. It kind of leads you through all the most, you know, famous sites that are in the city of Boston. You have to go to the place where the Boston Massacre took place. You go by Paul Revere's home. But the place that I liked the most was the Old North Church. And the Old North Church is probably most known for the one by land, two by sea. You remember they hung the lanterns up, one if the Redcoats were coming by land, two if they were coming by sea, as a way to notify. And it played a large part in Paul Revere's ride, that late night ride. But we got to go inside the Old North Church and look around. And one of the things that was really cool about it is they had pew boxes on the inside of the church. It looks like this if you've never seen it before. But inside the church, there were boxes. And on all the boxes, there were gold plates with names of families. And back then, if you wanted to be a member of the church, if you wanted to attend there, you had to pay for that right. You had to buy a pew box for your family. So we walked around and we were looking at all the different families and looking at some of the names. We saw Paul Revere's family and how they owned that pew box. And I started thinking, like, well, what happens if someone comes and they don't own a box? Like, where do they sit? You know, what if somebody's life's a mess and they're broken? They decide to show up at church one Sunday because they're looking for answers. And so I grabbed one of the people that worked there. I said, well, what happened if you didn't own a box? He's like, well, you didn't get to come. It's kind of how it worked. If you don't own the box, you don't get to attend. And I started thinking, like, how in the world could a church miss it that much? When the whole point of all of this is we're called to extend a hand, to create a bridge, a path for people to find out how great God is. How could a church miss it so much? So I continue to look around. I'm looking at all the different plates. And I finally go down the center aisle. And I notice this plate that has the name of a family. But under it, it says, for strangers and outsiders. So I grabbed that same person that gave me the information before. I said, explain this to me. He said, oh, well, this one family, they purchased a section. They purchased some pews for anybody out that was searching and looking, and there were outsiders, for a place for them to sit. And I thought, there was one person out of all the people who attended the Old North Church, there was one family who got it, who didn't miss the point that we are called to be people who extend a hand, to bring people to Christ, to point people to Him. Of all the people there, everybody had forgot about the point except the one person. Now, Jesus was really clear about His mission and His purpose and the point of all this. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. He says, for the Son of Man, speaking about Himself, He said, I came to seek and save the lost. Jesus said, listen, the reason why I'm here, just so everyone's clear, I came to build a bridge. I came looking for broken and hurting people. I came not looking for those who have their lives all together. I came looking for the broken and hurting so they can understand how much my Father loves them. And that's what we're called to do, to extend this mission of Christ, to look for those who are hurting and broken. But sometimes, instead of building bridges, we create separation between us and the people God is asking us to serve. You know, sometimes our opinions create some separation between us and the people that we're called to love on. And we talk about this idea quite often here at Grace, that we really have to choose as individuals if we're going to be people of influence or people of just opinions. And if you're going to be a person that just has opinions and everyone needs to know your opinion about everything, the way you think, the way you believe, the way you vote, then you're probably not going to be a person of influence. But I believe God is calling each of us to be people of influence, so that we can influence people for things that really matter, like eternity. And I know we're about to enter into like an election season, and it's an opportunity that really like kind of divides us as a nation. I just want to remind all of us as we go into this season that you can disagree with somebody and be okay. Like, you can read something on social media that you don't agree with, and you don't even have to say anything. You can just keep scrolling. Your life can just continue to move on. You don't have to say all of your opinions and all of your thoughts. You can literally just keep moving on with your life. Some of us haven't discovered that yet, but I want you to know it's true. You can just move on with your life. You don't have to continue to create separation between you and the people that God wants you to influence. You know, sometimes we add to the separation because our goal becomes isolation. I really cringe when I hear this as a pastor, when somebody comes up to me and says, Andrew, would you pray that I could find a new job? Because, you know, all the people I work with, none of them are Christians. And if you could hear the way they talk, if you would see the way they act, I really would love in a place where to work where everybody's Christians. And I always hear that and I think, no, you don't. The reason why I know that is because I work in one of those environments. And it's not that much fun. Trust me, everybody I'm around is Christians. And I don't even like doing it every day, right? And when I hear people say that, I think, you're missing the point. And the reason why we're around people who are far away from God is because God has placed us there to build a bridge, to create a path so they can experience God's grace and mercy. But sometimes we just completely miss the point. Churches miss the point. Really, every church that's ever existed, from the very first church all the way up to Grace Christian, struggles with this. Sometimes we're all guilty of kind of creating distance between us and the people God is calling us to love and serve. We even see it in the very first church, all the way at the very beginning of the book of Acts. At the end of Matthew, Jesus kind of gives the marching orders for His followers. He calls everybody in. This is known as the Great Commission, and He says to them in Matthew 28, verse 19, He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus brings everybody in. He says, all right, here's the deal. I'm leaving. Now your mission is to go, to be proactive, to get involved, to serve, to build bridges, to point people towards me. Just keep going. Keep being proactive until everybody knows how great I am. That's your mission. Well, about 20 years goes by, and it works. People are finding out about Christ. People are putting their faith in him and following the teachings of Jesus. You know, early on, it was really just like Jews who had converted to Christianity. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but something happened beyond that. People who were from different cultures and different ways of thinking, they started putting their faith in the teachings of Christ. This kind of created a messy situation. They didn't know what to do because now there were these new people who claimed to be Christians, but they didn't look like the other Christians. They didn't act like the other Christians. They had different customs and traditions. And so the church started wondering, like, what do we got to do about this? How are we going to figure this out? Do they have to do what we do and act like we act and say what we say and look like us? Like, what are the requirements to be a follower of Christ? So in Acts 15, 20 years after Jesus leaves, they hold the very first church business meeting in Acts 15. It's known as the Council at Jerusalem. And for those of you that grew up in a church culture where you all have like maybe church business meetings once a month or once a quarter or annually, you know this. There is only one thing that can make a church business meeting fun, and that's if there's a fight. Like, that is the only scenario where that could be remotely interesting to anyone. I remember when we moved to Birmingham to plant a church, we ran into some pastors who were really good to us, and they kind of had a network and a gathering of pastors that we became a part of, and they invited us to their annual business meeting. And so we showed up, and we didn't know a lot of them, and I was by far like the youngest person in the room, and the meeting starts, and right out of the gate, like, people are fighting and arguing with each other, and people are making motions and seconding motions and voting, and people are yelling. These old men were screaming at each other. I'd never seen anything like it in all of my life. And so I was leaving, and the guy that had invited us to the business meeting said, well, I'm really sorry about this. I bet you're never going to come back. And I said, are you kidding me? This is one of the greatest things I've ever been to in my life. Like, is this a plus one situation? Can I bring a friend next year? I'd never seen anything like that in my life. And that's the only thing that can make a church business meeting exciting. And that's what happened in Acts 15. They have their first meeting, and there's an argument. There's a dispute. People see things from a different perspective. This is how it reads in Acts 15, verse 1. It says, certain people came down from Judea to Antioch, where they were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. Well, this brought Paul and Barnabas into a sharp dispute and debate with them. That's kind of the Bible saying in a nice way. There was a major argument, right? There was a sharp dispute and a debate. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some of the other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. So this was the dispute. They were wondering, as people came from other cultures and other customs, did they have to look like them, like physically? And people were saying, unless they're circumcised, unless they have surgery, they really can't experience God's grace and mercy. And we read that, we think, how did someone miss the point that much? I mean, Jesus says, go, tell everybody, bring as many people in as possible. I want to extend grace and mercy to them. And just 20 years later, they're saying, really, you got to have surgery. I don't know what your church custom was growing up, what it took to become a member of a church, but I'm assuming it didn't include a pocket knife, right? And if it did, probably only women and children were showing up, right? Men were like, no, thank you. I don't want to join that church. But think about how far off course they got in such a little amount of time. Instead of creating bridges and paths for people to come and find Christ, they were putting roadblocks up. And Paul and Barnabas, they were so upset. And so they kind of laid out their point of view, and people argued. And then all of a sudden, James stands up and speaks. And when James speaks, everyone gets quiet. James is one of the leaders of the early church. And if you're here today and you struggle with your faith, just if Jesus was who he said he was, James should encourage your faith. Because James was a half-brother of Jesus. Think about this with me. What would it take for your brother to convince you that he was the Son of God? Right? I mean, this was not the first conversation they had when Jesus was explaining to James when they were a kid, like, hey, you know, I'm the Messiah. James didn't believe. James didn't believe all the way up until he saw Jesus dead and then come out of the grave 3 days later. He's like, all right, I finally believe, right? And so James is now all in. He's a believer, and that should encourage your faith. And James stands up and speaks, and he kind of gives the final judgment. Okay, this is the direction we're going as a church. In verse 19, he said, it is my judgment. Here's what we're going to do. Therefore, we should not make it difficult for Gentiles who are turning to God. James said, here's the deal. It's our mission not to make it difficult. We don't need to put any roadblocks up. Instead, we need to be building bridges. We're missing the point, people. And sometimes in life, we miss the point. We forget what we're called to do, what our primary purpose is. We are called to extend grace and mercy to people all around us. But sometimes we just miss the point. And here at Grace, we are committed to not missing the point. We think that the problems that exist in our community must become our problems. Like, it's not the job of the government or some other organization. It's got to be the responsibilities of followers of Jesus and his churches to address the problems that exist in our community. We are called to make our community a better place to live because we exist, because we're here. This is what Paul says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. He says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so I may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. So Paul's in prison. He's in chains, and he says, hey, I got one prayer request. Now listen, if I'm ever in prison, and it's because I didn't do anything wrong like Paul, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what my one prayer request is. Pray that I get out of prison, right? That's not Paul's one request. Paul said, here's my one request. Would you pray that God would open a door so we just tell people about Jesus? Would you pray that God would allow us to build a bridge, to create a path so that more people could figure out how great he is? I mean, really, that should be the passion of all of our hearts. I want to build a bridge to the people that I live next to and go through life with and work next to. I just want them to know how great you are. The problems that exist in our community, God, I want to be a part of the solution so people could figure out how great you are. You know, here at Grace, we are lean intentionally. We don't do a lot. I mean, really, we only ask if you do a few things. Like, we're not starting new programs. All we say is, like, we need you here on Sunday. Show up. Help serve. We need help with first impressions, with ushers and greeters. Maybe you can volunteer back at Kid City. Or right now, there's small groups going on for middle school and high school students on Sundays. You can be a part of serving one of those. Like, just show up, invite your friends, be here on Sunday, right? Help us serve. The next thing we ask everybody to do is to be a part of a small group because we just think that we were created to live in community. And we just know Grace is never going to feel like your home church. You're never really going to belong. You're never really going to grow the way God wants you to grow without being a part of a smaller group of people. And outside of that, like, we don't do anything else. We're not starting a bunch of stuff. We're not trying to fill up your calendar. All we say is be here on Sunday, be in a small group. And then just serve the people of our community. Get out of here. Go do something. Don't come here. We don't want you here. We want you in the community. And we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. Like, we're not trying to start new things. We're not going to start a food pantry. You know why? Because there's already a great food pantry here in Scott County. They just need more people to be generous and more people to buy into their vision. We're not going to start a crisis pregnancy center because there's already a great crisis pregnancy center here in Scott County. They just need more people to buy into what they're doing. Maybe you're passionate about, like, using your hands. You like building things. Go, like, get involved in Habitat. Build a house for somebody in our community who doesn't have a house. Maybe you love sports. Go coach a ball team and look at those kids that you're serving and that family that's around you. Look at those people as an opportunity to point people towards Christ and just build a bridge. Like, we're not trying to fill up your calendar. We just saying, get out in our community and make it a better place to live because we exist here. You know, at this point in the history of our church, we're in a unique place because we have more people than we've ever had before. We have more influence than we've ever had before. We have more resources than we've ever had before. And the Bible talks specifically about people like us. The Bible says that when you have a lot, there's a lot expected of you. And I believe God's expecting a lot out of each one of us. God is not looking to our government. He's looking at us and saying, all right, what are you going to do to make your community a better place? What are you going to do to build bridges. And I believe God's asking each of us to do something. It's our responsibility. It's our primary purpose in life to build bridges so people can figure out how great God is. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take a moment and we're just going to pray together as a church family. We're going to pray for a few things. We're going to pray, one, that God would speak to us individually about what it is that we're called to do and how we can make our community a better place. We're also going to pray for our church that God would continue to expand our influence. God would speak to us as leaders to give us direction so we can know exactly what to do. And then we're just going to pray for the people in our lives, the people who we live next to, we work next to, people that are far away from God. We're just going to pray that God would use us to build a bridge. Would you bow your heads with me? God, I know that you've wired each of us to do something great to make this community a better place. God, I know that there's something specific that you want each of us to do to help build bridges so that people will know how great you are. And God, I pray today you'd speak that to us. And God, as a leader here at Grace, I pray that you would continue to lead us and direct us so that we could know how we could address the issues that exist right here in our community. And God, I pray that you'd use every person in this room to build a bridge, so that people can figure out how great you are, the people that we work next to and live next to and go through life with. God, I pray that you would use us just to get them in the room with you, because we know that when they meet you, it changes everything. God, I pray that you would spur us, you would encourage us to do something to make our community a better place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.